Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tina's Arena. Today, I have a very special guest with me, Diane Sorensen. Diane is one of my former clients, and she has had a really cool journey that I just thought would be so impactful for everyone to hear. So welcome, Diane, to the podcast.
Thank you, Tina. Glad to be here.
Where do we start? Let's talk about how you felt initially with your relationship to food and exercise. Could you describe that?
Yeah, it's been a long journey. I think my relationship with food, ultimately, when I started working with you, Tina, I realized that I'm punishing myself with food and exercise to two different degrees. It was either a complete restriction or it was a complete overindulgence, same with the food. Or like with the exercise, it was overdoing it to underdoing it. But on both sides, I realized as we worked together that I was punishing myself on both sides.
Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, you also had a little bit of a rebel in you as well. Like you told yourself you needed to exercise, but then you're like, wait, no, I don't want to.
Right.
Can you explain that a little bit too?
Yeah, I think I had a lot of anger and resentment. Not that I was even really aware of that, but like around the exercising, it was kind of like, you know, society told me I had to be a certain way, look a certain way. And so I overexercised and restricted food to look that way and to be accepted. And then I kind of went to the other side and said, oh, wait a minute. Okay. I don't need to prove myself. So then I just kind of was like, yeah, I don't want to exercise and I'm going to eat whatever and whenever I want to. And so it flipped, but in reality, I was still punishing myself.
Mm-hmm. And what did that feel like to have that punishment all of the time? Were you able to make progress toward your goals?
You know, on the outside, it looked great. You know, I got lots of gold stars. I got lots of validation on how great I looked. And, you know, I had all the cute clothes and brand new clothes, you know, but inside it felt terrible because mm-hmm. I was constantly had to keep this facade up, really. I had to keep this up and food, you know, took over my life. It was like I was so obsessed with it constantly. And then on the other side, when I decided, and actually this kind of happened in 2020, right? When, you know, the pandemic and, you know, I was doing my own personal work and decided, oh, I don't have to do this. So then I flipped on the other side, but that didn't feel good either because I was overindulging and just stuffing myself. And that felt terrible.
Mm-hmm. I really wish that people would stop commenting on body size because when I was depressed and I lost a bunch of weight, people also told me that I looked great. And it doesn't go, right? Because people are telling you you look amazing, but you know deep down inside, like you feel like garbage.
Right.
And it's like, do I need to always feel this way in order to look good to other people? It just, like, it doesn't
right? It's,
work.
We still want that validation, though, right? We get so committed to having that outside validation because we're not actually giving that validation to ourselves.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was one way I felt that was available to me to get that validation that way. So some people got their validation, like some friends of mine got their validation from being excellent at academics, which I felt that was not available to me because I was not excellent at academics. So I felt that, you know, I was small by nature, and I felt that was available to me. So that was the thing that I was going to have that other people wanted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is it about that conversation that we had that really stuck with you that one day that kind of turned on the light bulb moment for you?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that brought me closer to you was when you talked about emotional eating. And I knew that I had this, I mean, I knew for years that I had this strange relationship with food. But it wasn't, you know, I really didn't ever want to address it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't sit with me, you know, people, health and wellness coaches that were, you know, about losing weight and looking good and da da da. I just wanted at this point to feel good. And when you said emotional eating, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm there because I know that's what I'm doing. And then when we talked and I realized, oh, I have all my life punished myself with food, either through restriction or overindulgence. And then we were talking about, well, what's the opposite of punishing? And one of the things that came up was reward, which I didn't like, because I think actually rewards can be punishing. And then we came up with, oh, it's love. Love is the opposite of punishing. Being compassionate with myself is the opposite of punishing myself. And so then it was like, oh, how can I love myself with food? How can I love myself with exercise? And it didn't have to look a certain way. It just needed to feel loving to me.
Mm-hmm. And then, so from then we did a little bit of coaching and we started to implement some habits. And can you talk about how that went when you started implementing habits with the different mindset of love?
Yeah. So the habits started really small, and so, you know, some of them are still really small. And I think that's one of the things that gets us caught up too, is that, well, that's not enough. That's not going to do enough. You know, like, again, if you go back to that all or nothing, or, you know, it needs to be enough to matter. And so, like with water, I was never a water drinker. And that's the other thing, is I started changing my stories. So instead of saying, well, I've never been a water drinker, I started saying I am a water drinker. And created the habit of drinking water. And it started with one glass. And I did that for a month. But what I realized was, oh, I have been more consistent with drinking water now than I have ever been in my life. Because I would try to do the, oh, drink, you know, 64 ounces or a gallon or whatever it was. And I'd do it for a week and then it would drop off. So then I did that, and I'm drinking 64 ounces of water. I'm drinking 4 16-ounce glasses of water every single day, consistently.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So what I found out was, it's not the amount of the habit, it's the consistency of the habit. And so the other thing I did, you know, I don't even know if I told you this, but I was also a pop drinker, and I still am. I like my diet do. But what I kind of, and I've always tried to stop, you know, like, I need to quit, or I need to just have one, or, you know, I need to tell myself I don't want it, whatever. None of that ever worked. So what I'm doing now is saying, you know what, if you want pop, you have pop. Have those 4 glasses of water a day and you get as much pop as you want. Mm-hmm. So but what happens is I actually drink less pop because that water fills me up. And I don't need as much of the pop. So that's been helpful. So the exercise, the same thing. I used to overdo it. I really stressed my body a lot doing that. Both those things, restricting food and then over-exercising, really stressed my body. And so when I quit doing that, yeah, it was really hard for me to go back to exercising because it was like, well, if I'm only going to do 10 minutes or if I'm just going to go for a walk, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I still have to really work on this. So I started just going for a walk every day. And then that led to 10 minutes of structured exercise. And that led to 20 minutes of structured exercise. And there are days I fall off of that. And then I've got to recommit to those 20 minutes. So, that's kind of what I'm doing.
That's incredible. I love to hear that, Diane. Thank you for sharing. And I wanted to point out there, thinking about exercise, how a lot of us, when we used to exercise in the past, it used to be very high intensity, like very hard work on the body. Mm-hmm. And that will eventually cause burnout, which it did, right?
Right.
And then, so you've been sitting at home for a week, a couple of weeks, and now it feels even harder to go back because you don't want to go back to that intense exercise anymore. Right. So you just avoid it even more.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. No.
So,
yeah, and like, you know, I never thought about it as burning out on exercise, but you're right, I did.
Mm-hmm. Even pro bodybuilders, they have to take breaks training the certain muscles. Like they can only hit a certain muscle once or twice a week because it needs the rest. And as beginners, we're usually doing full body exercises every single day. And it becomes a lot easier for us to burn out, especially if you're going 0 to 100. Like you hit that wall so much easier. And then you feel like, I don't want to go back because I don't want to hit the wall again.
Right.
It's exhausting to continually hit the wall.
Yeah. And as far as the food goes, I do ask myself, am I loving myself with this food or am I just eating it to avoid? And it's really helped me to create the habit of not having to be over full or not having to be under full either, if that makes sense. So it was really a learning of what it felt like to not be starving or not be over full. Because to be honest, I did not know what that felt like. I was either one or the other.
Yeah. I think a lot of people struggle with this, especially because if you're over or emotional eating, you're usually overeating as well. So you lose the sense of fullness in your stomach. But I also love what you just said, that because you're eating and you're loving yourself like through the food, you, number one, allow yourself to be satisfied. So you love yourself enough to feed yourself enough food. And then number two, you love yourself to not overeat because you also understand that overeating causes discomfort and like is not working towards your long-term goals as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been great. It's been such a learning, but I noticed that I have gotten into a couple pairs of jeans that I had outgrown before.
That's incredible. So, you haven't told me that. Congratulations.
I know it. That just happened recently. Yeah. And I feel so much better in my body. I'm not trying to lose weight, but I think that was part of, you know, what happened. I don't weigh myself. I truly, my goal is to feed myself to where I feel comfortable in my body. Mm-hmm. And I feed myself to things that somebody who loves themselves would feed themselves, like, you know, vegetables and things like that, proteins. And I also, you know, give myself permission to eat the foods I love. So yesterday was my birthday and we went out
for pizza.
Thank you. Because pizza is my absolute favorite food. And I remember eating the pizza and thinking to myself, this is so great that I can enjoy this food without internally punishing myself about, you really shouldn't be eating this, or you shouldn't eat so much, or you need to stop now, or whatever. It was just eating and enjoying the food and stopping when I was ready to do that.
That is amazing. I think that is like the result I wish that everyone could have.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think your goal when we were working together, you just said, was to feel good in your body. So do you think you're there yet?
I do. I do feel good in my body. And you know, I think that's something you have to pay attention to all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the work. And yes, I feel good in my body. I remember yesterday, just midday, just thinking, I really feel good.
Yeah.
Not because of things that were going on externally, but just how I was feeding myself. It felt good.
That is incredible. And I also want to mention that I think Diane is very, very good at this type of work, because this is literally the work that you do, analyzing your behavior and kind of discovering patterns and understanding triggers as well. So do you want to talk about the work that you do and how this kind of related to all of this?
Yeah. So I am a transformational coach and podcaster as well. And I specifically specialize in parenting and women's relationships. So I help women feel more calm, more connected, and more confident in their relationships and in their parenting. And so it was funny when we were working together, because there were a lot of things we talked about, and I would go, oh, that's what, you know, I work with parents on with their children. And so, okay, so now this is the same thing I need to do with myself and my food, like, you know, being present with with the food. And so it was really interesting to do the work on this end, because we're all always doing the work, right? We're always evolving. And I always say, you know, every coach needs a coach and every therapist needs a therapist and whatever. None of us do this by ourselves. None of us do this alone.
Okay. Yeah. And you brought up a word, which I think describes it perfectly. It's a relationship. Like, you coach between the parent relationship with their kids. And this is the same thing. It's just our relationship to the food, except the food's not talking back at you, and the food is probably providing comfort a lot of the time.
right. And it all comes down to really the relationship we have with ourselves, which we don't, you know, usually think about. It's we have a very focused outward look. So yeah.
So in terms of your work with the parents, how are you helping them with their relationship to themselves?
So I do a lot of shadow work. We do a lot of boundary work and, you know, boundaries around our time. You know, what do us moms do? We, you know, do everything for everyone. We're taught to serve others, not ourselves. And so that's one of the big things that I teach a healthy dose of selfishness, so that we can use boundaries to get our own needs met. Because boundaries are really for us. It's not about putting boundaries on somebody else and telling them what they can and cannot do. It's putting boundaries on us so that we are getting our own needs met. So that is a lot of the work that I do, really about breaking generational patterns and outdated cultural beliefs and creating those deep connections, and becoming the leaders that our children today need.
Mm-hmm. And I love this because it's so perfect. It fits so well with like the work that I do. It's all about breaking, you know, the generational trauma that everyone has around food and dismantling diet culture. So it's like everything is so related, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And it's so great that we can, just do this work together and help each other rise and evolve. Mm-hmm. So I thank you for the work that you do and helping me in discovering my own patterns. Because, you know, it's easy to see the patterns in other people. Mm-hmm. But the work is discovering our own patterns that are keeping us stuck.
Yeah, you're welcome, Diane. Thank you so much for trusting me. Is there anything else that you would like to leave the listeners with? Where can they find you?
I have a podcast called Beautiful Behavior, so they can find me there at the podcast, on Instagram at DianeSorensen.bb or Beautiful Behavior, and on my website, DianeSorensen.net.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yay.